The scripture reading today comes from Psalm 1. We'll read the first psalm in its entirety. Psalm 1, beginning with verse 1. The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and doesn't sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instructions, and they recite God's instructions day and night. They are like a tree replanted by rivers of water, which bears fruit at just the right time and whose leaves don't fade. Whatever they do succeeds. That's not true for the wicked. They are like dust that the wind blows away. And that's why the wicked will have no standing in the courts of justice, neither will sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord is intimately acquainted with the ways of the righteous. The way of the wicked is destroyed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For the past 10 years, actually longer than that, Psalm 1 has been the gateway through which I stepped to begin my monthly trek through the Psalms. Across the page from Psalm 1, I have written in my Psalms a quote from Saint Benedict. Always we begin again. It is there to remind me that every month is a new beginning, a fresh start. And each time I read that part about the tree in Psalm 1, it affirms that this is a journey that is worth beginning one more time, especially in the wording of the message from which I read the Psalms. It promises that the tree which is replanted in Eden will bear fresh fruit every month. The promise of fresh fruit every month is enough to help me decide that I am absolutely in for one more month. I mean, who knows what ripe, delightful fruit is waiting there this time, ready for the picking. As our shared ministry began 10 years ago, I had a lot of questions. My first day on the job, I posed some of those questions in a sermon entitled, Where Do We Begin? That was a good question. In an attempt to reach some clarity, we did what Jesus often did when he had to respond to a question, ask more questions. Together, we looked at the journey before us and asked ourselves, how do we find the needed courage to begin something, anything new? How do we calm our fears when facing new beginnings? How do we prepare to face the challenges that will be before us? How do we start off on the right track? How do we keep ourselves grounded in the midst of changing emotions along the way? How about we use this 10th anniversary milestone not as any kind of finish line, but rather as a gateway to a new beginning? Let us ask ourselves some of these same questions today as we begin again. As we begin again, Psalm 1 tells us where we are to begin and how we are to begin. We are to be planted, to take root in the life-giving, life-sustaining provisions of God. It is a call into what John McGoajab says is the place of life-giving rootedness in something larger than our own lives, something deep enough and enduring enough to keep us anchored and oriented in the storm. We've thought a number of times together about how trees teach us important lessons on congregational life, on how forests may help us and offer us insights on congregational vitality. In doing so, we have relied often upon the wisdom of Peter Wohlleben's book, The Hidden Life of Trees. Wohlleben gives us a perspective on trees that informs our understanding of the tree that we find growing beside the river in this morning's psalm. Wohlleben suggests that a tree can only be as strong as the forest that surrounds it. What if God, in planting the tree by streams of water, is concerned not only about the stability the freshness and fruitfulness of the tree, but also of the whole forest. Maybe the tree is planted by the streams of water, not just for its own sustaining hydration, but to sink roots that deeply stabilize the soil of the riverbanks. And the fruitfulness? Well, the fruit of a tree is more often for the good of others than it is for the good of the tree itself. What if the tree is planted by streams of water for the good of the forest? What if we were to read this psalm from an other-centered perspective rather than a self-centered perspective? What if our spirituality were to completely shift from individuality to a communal or congregational focus? And what if the river is not the only life-sustaining gift of God found in this psalm? What if the forest is also the gift to support the gift of God to support the tree? A tree is not a forest. There you go, Pete. A tree is not a forest. Wohlleben tells us, on its own, a tree cannot establish a consistent local climate. It is at the mercy of the wind and weather. But together, many trees create an ecosystem that moderates the extreme of heat and cold, stores a great deal of water, and generates a great deal of humidity. And in this protected environment, trees can live to be very old. To get to this point, the community must remain intact no matter what. If every tree were looking out only for itself, then quite a few of them would never reach old age. Regular fatalities would result in large gaps in the tree canopy, which would make it easier for storms to get inside the forest and uproot more trees. The heat of the summer would reach the forest floor and dry it out. Every tree would suffer. So trees share food with their own species and go so far as to nourish their competitors. The reasons are the same for human communities. There are advantages to working together. When trees grow together, nutrients and water can be optimally divided among them all so that each tree can grow into the best tree it can be. If you help individual trees by getting rid of their supposed competition, the remaining trees are bereft. Every tree now muddles along on its own. This is because a tree can only be as strong as the forest that surrounds it. Their well-being depends on their community. And because trees know this intuitively, they do not hesitate to help each other out. It is important for us to be planted in caring communities. Our well-being and even our individual survival depends upon it. We each need to hear and heed the call to be replanted in Eden because, as Wohlleben would tell us, there are few places, if any, that are perfect for the survival of a tree on its own. This opens our eyes to there being more to the psalm than a promise for a single, solitary tree. Maybe when God replants you and me beside rivers of Eden, God's focus and purpose is on something larger than our own lives. Maybe it's about the whole garden. Maybe it's about the forest and not just the tree. Maybe it's about community. As we begin again, this is where we begin. Together, where God has planted us, where God sustains us for the good of one another. Well, is it worth it? Has the first time around justified beginning again? I guess it depends on who you ask and by what you measure success. What does success even look like? Is success actually our ultimate goal? Not that we want to fail, but what about Jesus' life and ministry could be called a success? Long before 10 years, the religious establishment turned on him and his followers deserted him, and he was crucified as an enemy of the empire. From Jesus, we learn it's not always about worldly success. It's about being faithful. Being faithful to what God calls you to do and growing where God has planted you. Psalm 1 goes so far as to tell those who do that, whatever they do succeeds. For the psalmist, that means fruit that is born at just the right time and leaves that don't fade. Because we have stood together, supporting one another over the past 10 years, we have survived the challenges that have come our way. When COVID hit, we stood together, committed to protecting one another. We found ways to nurture one another even when we had to remain separated. And the fruit? Well, out of that challenging soil of a global pandemic, there grew a uniquely developed hybrid congregation. Because we remained faithful to one another and to the mission which God called us to in this place where we are planted together, all we did, well, succeeded. As verse 1 says in the psalm, and we today are truly happy. That first Sunday 10 years ago, we had as our guide the prophet Elisha. The scripture reading for the day was about Elisha's first day on the job, too. From him we gathered pointers and direction for where we were to begin. As Elisha began his new job, assuming the role of his predecessor, Elijah, he began with a determination to go the distance. As a baton was being passed from Elijah to Elisha, there were places along the way that Elisha was offered a buyout. But determined to stay the course, he passed one getting off place after another. He was met with distractions along the way, all of which fell on deaf ears. Not that Elisha must not have had his doubts. He knew Elijah, and he knew himself. He knew he was no Elijah. But rather than allowing that to prevent him from stepping up and taking the job, he asked for what he knew he still needed. He needed a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. He knew what he needed to be ready to begin the journey before him. Are we ready to begin again? We have all we need. The sustaining waters of God's abiding presence continue to flow like a mighty river. The shelter of a caring congregation continues to develop and grow up around us. Today, we celebrate not a single tree, but rather the forest that we are becoming together as we continue to grow together where God has planted us. But let us also celebrate today the promise and the potential that is yet before us. More fresh fruit, more joy, as we begin again. Amen.